What's going on, everyone? And welcome back to another episode of the D-Lloyd NBA podcast presented by CLNS Media, the leading online provider of audio and video content. I am, of course, your host, Devin Lloyd. And today, Wednesday, October 3rd, we had a nice set of games last night. Main ones, LeBron James making his Staples Center debut in the second preseason game for the Los Angeles Lakers. We also had a Carmelo Anthony sighting with the Houston Rockets. But first things first, as usual, we will go over the news and then we'll get into the NBA game recaps. Not a ton of news. You know it's not a lot of news when literally the A block this morning is all filled of that infamous Kobe Bryant video of him flinching. They finding out it wasn't quite what it seemed. They had an overhead camera view, and Matt Barnes really wasn't, you know, pumping the basketball at Kobe Bryant's face. So that is literally the top news story. But there was a small signing by the New York Knicks. They waived Tyrese Walker. They signed John Jenkins to the 20-man preseason roster. Not a huge signing. Quite frankly, I don't see John Jenkins making the final roster. But that did happen. So I just want to let you guys know there was that signing from New York yesterday. But one thing I do want to talk about, I posted a video on the YouTube channel, got a pretty big reaction. A lot of people were talking about it. Something that kind of goes along the lines of something I've been saying for a while about Tom Thibodeau not wanting to trade away Jimmy Butler. But there was a pretty big story that came out that kind of got swept under the rug. Now, there was a reporter by the name of Ethan Skolnick. I'm hoping I'm not saying his name wrong. And he pretty much put together a story saying that he believes the Houston Rockets trade rumors for Jimmy Butler was literally a smokescreen to try to get the Miami Heat to offer more to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, this is exactly what he said. He said, quote, "I heard that the last offer the Miami Heat made for Jimmy Butler was on Thursday morning. Coincidentally, it was a little coincidental to me that the two reports came out of Houston right after the Heat made their final offer. That to me strikes me as Minnesota was leaking stuff out that somebody else was interested, because a couple of those reports on Friday were like, a deal will get done by midnight. We're still sitting here and there's been no deal," end quote. Now, I did talk about this extensively. I've been saying for a while that Thibodeau does not want to trade away Jimmy Butler. You could tell by all of their actions. And now that we know that the trade request actually didn't happen a couple weeks ago, but it happened back in August, he notified the team that he would like to be traded. The team did absolutely nothing. Thibodeau has been trying to change Jimmy Butler's mind this entire time, which means he really doesn't want to let him go. And the fact that he is still technically a member of the Minnesota Timberwolves after this, what you would think will be a public divorce, you could tell Tibbs is still trying to hold on and he wants Jimmy Butler to return, or he wants a unrealistic trade to happen. That's why he asked for Ben Simmons. That's why they went after Chris Middleton, and that was rejected by the Milwaukee Bucks. So when you look at it from the perspective of Thibodeau, it makes entire sense that he really doesn't want to trade for Houston. This could also make sense, well, from Minnesota regarding the Houston Rockets trade. It could make sense to talk this up and to leak this information. I am sure that Houston did call. They did inquire about Jimmy Butler, doing the due diligence, seeing, hey, is this even a possibility? Can we even get him down here? Of course, when you look at what the Timberwolves have been asking for from other teams, like Ben Simmons, like Chris Middleton and more, you look then at the roster of the Houston Rockets, you quickly realize there's really not a lot that Houston could give up to get Jimmy Butler that's even close to a Ben Simmons type of player. Because for Houston, they're trying to be very, very careful with the current roster as orchestrated. They will make a move, but only if it benefits them, clearly. You look at the roster, you look at some of the untouchables. Chris Paul, not going to be traded. James Harden, not going to be traded. Clint Capella, not going to be traded, especially right now. You have Carmelo Anthony, not going to be traded. So you look at the other guys and the other players who could go, maybe P.J. Tucker. That would be a mistake in my opinion, but maybe he could go. Eric Gordon, he could be moved, but is that really the value that the Timberwolves want right now? I don't really think it is. So this story could entirely make sense. Minnesota got the call. They leaked it out. Because if you don't know, a lot of organizations have people to leak information out to reporters and the media outlets to try to be able to flip a story, flip things that could help benefit them. They're hoping that the Miami Heat hear this. Now they try to push and offer just that little bit extra to try to get Jimmy Butler. One, because they want Jimmy Butler. But two, you don't want Jimmy Butler to go to the Houston Rockets, a team that is already viewed as the second, maybe the third most talented team in the NBA. They're able to bring in another all-star, but not just an all-star, all-star that plays on both ends of the court. All-star that will tremendously help them on the defense side of the ball. So they're hoping that the Miami Heat don't want that, and they will try to take the bait off a little bit more. Clearly, it hasn't happened. Today is Wednesday morning. No trade has been done for Jimmy Butler. So clearly, I don't think it did work. But it was interesting to see, you know, a story kind of almost confirming my thoughts the entire time that I don't think Thibodeau wanting to trade him is real. Now, of course, the owner of the Timberwolves, Glenn Taylor, he wants Jimmy Butler gone as soon as possible. He wanted Jimmy Butler gone last week. So it's going to be interesting to see at some point this little mini war between Glenn Taylor, the owner of the Timberwolves, and of course, Layden and Thibodeau of the Timberwolves. We're going to see who kind of gives in. Is Glenn Taylor going to be okay with Jimmy Butler coming back to the locker room, which I think will be a cancerous situation, especially at this point? Or does Glenn Taylor step in, make the trade happen, and then maybe you fire Tom Thibodeau? I think Thibodeau would rather be fired at this point than go on without Jimmy Butler or without adequate compensation, who he believes is adequate, which is a very high, crazy asking price at this point. I think realistically, Timberwolves are looking at some trade assets, probably looking at some younger players. They do want younger guys, but they're looking at younger guys who I believe, who they think has some sort of potential that they see value in, but hasn't lived up to their initial potential. Those are the guys I think the Timberwolves are looking at. But this Ben Simmons thing isn't going to work. Chris Middleton was a little bit closer, a little bit more realistic, but the salary does not match up, which means the Bucks will have to include more than just Chris Middleton to bring in Jimmy Butler. But that is a story that I did want to talk about. It was a slow news day, but that is something that I did want to talk about. As for the game recaps, let's go over those. We did have five games last night. The main one that we're going to talk about, though, was the final one, the Los Angeles Lakers and the Denver Nuggets. So we had LeBron James making his Staples Center debut. Of course, they played the Nuggets on Sunday. That was in San Diego, California, instead of L.A. at home in Staples Center. So they took the trip back up north just a little bit, about 2 hours. They're back in L.A. And, man, did you see the improvement from the Los Angeles Lakers? Now, I was tweeting out. If you're not following me on Twitter, make sure you do. D-Lloyd TV, D-L-L-O-Y-D TV. Shameless plug there. But watching the game, you could tell that the Lakers are going to get this thing together. It may take some time. They're not going to come straight out of the gate firing on all cylinders. But their offense, extremely talented. Having this quote-unquote positionless lineup that they have, I think they will also figure this thing out too. I'm not 100% sold yet on the small lineup with Kuzma as center. I'm not quite sure if that will work, especially playoff time for long bursts. But I think against certain teams, you can match up well. Like the Golden State Warriors, they're going to go small. You know, at some point, even the Rockets are going to go small. You can match up with those teams there. But in small bursts, I don't mind that lineup at all. Don't think you can consistently do it. But you could tell by the Lakers, they were communicating better defensively. That was a huge mishap on Sunday's game. Looked pretty bad at times defensively, but you could tell the communication is definitely getting better. They switch a lot of screens. They guard whoever's in front of them. They don't mind switching. You get weird situations where you have shooting guards guarding centers. They don't mind that. They'll come help double team, but you need communication for that to work effectively. It worked a little bit better last night, so I do like that. The Lakers started Josh Hart over Caldwell Pope. That was a great decision to me. Caldwell Pope, yes, he's been struggling, but I think long-term, Josh Hart is just a more talented player than Caldwell Pope. Caldwell Pope could help you more a little bit defensively, but I think offensively, you have a shooter who's been a little bit more consistent. Yes, he was only 2-for-8 yesterday from the three-point line. Shot 6-for-13. He did have 14 points in 25 minutes. You compare that to Caldwell Pope, who came off the bench. 2-for-7 shooting, 1-for-4 for the three-point line, 6 points, -7 while on the court. Josh Hart, +9 while on the court. So the second-year player to me out of Villanova, Josh Hart, I think this kid is very, very good. I like that pickup by the Lakers. I think he's underrated by many. A lot of people who do know about Josh Hart, he's probably one of their favorite players on this roster. Josh Hart, to me, very, very good player. LeBron James, of course, played 15 minutes, the exact same minutes as game one. He was +13 while on the court last night. Had 13 points, 5-for-6 shooting, hit his only 3, 2-for-3 from the free throw line. The man pretty much filled out the entire stat sheet. 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. The one flaw, he did have 4 turnovers. But LeBron James, when he's on the court, this team is very, very good offensively. I think they will definitely figure it out. Now, one guy who is benefiting from this roster, from being really the only big man that matters, JaVale McGee. He's been looking good for 2 games in a row. 8 rebounds, 15 points in 19 minutes. He also had 5 blocks, and I believe one possession. He had 2, maybe even 3 blocks in one possession. JaVale McGee going to benefit out of this roster. I like this signing. I like the Lakers roster that they had, or the starting lineup they had, which was Rondo, Josh Hart, LeBron, Brandon Ingram, and then JaVale McGee. Brandon Ingram, LeBron, you could kind of interchange that between the 4 and the 3 position. But Brandon Ingram, he did struggle with the shot. Only took 5, finished with 4 points. Brandon Ingram, I think, is definitely going to be hit and miss from time. I don't think he's consistent enough shooting to always be a factor. I'm not as high on Brandon Ingram as everybody else, obviously. I do think this kid has amazing potential. I just think it's going to take a little bit longer than some people expect for it to happen. LeBron James says he has next. I just don't think it's this year. But Brandon Ingram is going to have those moments where he does look very, very good. Struggled a little bit defensively. Had a lot of fouls. But he can rebound the ball for you. And if he gets more consistent with that shot, it'll look good. Kyle Kuzma coming off the bench. Of course, he comes off the bench. And then once JaVale McGee needs a rest, he then goes to center. He struggled a little bit with his shot yesterday, only making 1-3. But he did finish with 7 points. He had a couple of hockey assists, which are the passes that set up another assist that does not get recorded as an assist. Kyle Kuzma looked good. Michael Beasley struggled. It was good to see him back after that head injury. He did struggle shooting, 1-for-5, 0-for-2. Probably looked like one of the worst players who was getting significant minutes coming off of the bench. I think Lance Stephenson played fairly well. Of course, Lance is Lance. He's going to show off. He's going to have those bonehead moments. He's going to make some incredible-looking plays. But I think his true value comes in the playoffs. So does Rondo. Even though Rondo did have 7 assists and 11 points, I think his true value also comes in the playoffs. So we're still waiting to see Mo Wagner, the first round pick this season, to make his debut. I think he will help at center. Zubac, he played a lot better, but I think Mo Wagner could be a little bit more of a help at that position. But we'll see, of course, when he actually does play. Lonzo Ball, not quite sure how much we'll see him, if at all, this preseason. He has been cleared to practice fully, so he is practicing fully with the team. Not quite sure when we see him actually on the court during a game. As for the Denver Nuggets, they didn't have Jamal Murray, the starting point guard. They basically, if you watch the game, before the fourth quarter, before a lot of the reserves and guys trying to make the team came in, the Lakers were easily winning this game. But the Nuggets, they eventually won. Paul Millsap, he struggled, only making 1 shot, only 3 points. I know he missed a ton of time last season. He definitely needs to come back. Jokic looking very, very solid. He's looking like the guy who earned that paycheck that he got over the offseason. looked very good, 20 points in 23 minutes, only missed three shots, had six rebounds, had four assists, one of the best big man passers in the league. So I think for him, he looked very, very good. Will Barton struggled, 1 for 12, but you know you're not going to get that every night. There's going to be nights where he shows up. Trey Lyles, he played good, very, very good. He had 12 points in 20 minutes. One of the main surprises for me a little bit, Mason Plumlee, the backup big man, he played extremely well, was 11 for 11. Now, you know you're not going to get that every single night, but 23 points, 2 rebounds. He looks like a very good complement to Jokic coming off of the bench, playing significant minutes. I did like that one at all. Of course, still no Isaiah Thomas playing. Like I said, Jamal Murray, he did not play either. Or Gary Harris, he also did not play. But very solid game for the Nuggets. They will still be a team that's contending for a playoff spot. We are excited about that. The Lakers, of course, I think they'll get everything together. And I still think they will be in the playoffs, of course, in the Western Conference. Now, another player making his debut, you had Carmelo Anthony with the Houston Rockets. They end up beating the Memphis Grizzlies 131 to 115. Carmelo Anthony, he came in, he started, he played 23 minutes compared to Chris Paul's 26 and Harden's 30. So clearly, he's going to have an important role within this team. He had 13 points, 4 for 8, 3 for 6 from the three-point line, 4 rebounds, 2 steals. A typical Carmelo Anthony game. He didn't look any better. It's not like Carmelo Anthony looked better than he did last season or better than he did his final season with the Knicks. He looked good. Carmelo Anthony, I'm not one of those guys who thinks he is done. He's washed up. Carmelo Anthony, very, very solid player. As your third option, I like Carmelo Anthony. It was just a matter of fact of how they're going to do this lineup. But they started him. He got his shots up. He still doesn't do anything defensively. That's not going to change. But Carmelo Anthony was at the four, looked good to me. I like the fit there. I think him, Chris Paul, they definitely have their chemistry together. Him and James Harden, not so much. That will come over time, though. That will definitely come over time. But Carmelo Anthony had a solid performance. James Harden out here, he had 20 points, 6 assists. He had 8 turnovers, which you definitely want to, you know, tone down a little bit. But in your first preseason game, a lot of these turnovers, a lot of these personal fouls will definitely you kind of give it a pass as you start playing more and start getting your legs underneath you and start getting that continuity with your teammates on the court. Chris Paul was plus 21, had the highest plus minus of anybody. He had 22 points in the 26 minutes he played, shot 50% from the field, shot 5 of 6 from the three-point line, 9 assists, 5 steals. Chris Paul, he still has it. He's going to come back, going to be very, very solid this year. I like the Houston Rockets. They looked really good to me. Clint Capella had 5 points, had 6 rebounds. You know he's just there to clean up, miss shots, go back up, catch some alley-oops. That's why Clint Capella's there, help protect the paint. That's what he did last night. Michael Carter-Williams wasn't a huge fan of this addition, but he played very, very good. Almost looked like the rookie Michael Carter-Williams. Had 19 points in 21 minutes. Missed only one shot from the field. Got to the free throw line a ton. Was 9 of 11 from the free throw line. 3 rebounds, 2 assists. Like I said, I haven't seen Michael Carter-Williams really play this well since his rookie season. He played great last night. I don't know how long he'd keep it up, but he did play very, very well. Eric Gordon, the player that, you know, rumored if anybody was going to be moved, it would be him. Came off the bench, gave you 13 points, 3 of 5 from the three-point line. He had a very, very solid night also for the Houston Rockets. When you look at the Memphis Grizzlies, they're still going to be a team, I think, better than some people expect, but they're not going to be in the playoffs. Definitely going to be on the outside looking in. But Jaren Jackson Jr., the fourth overall pick, he looked good. Did not miss a shot, 19 minutes, 6 for 6. Hit a 3, so he did show that range a little bit. He looked like the same Jaren Jackson that we've seen in Summer League, and that is definitely promising. Moving forward, had 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. Of course, he had the 15 points. So Jaren Jackson Jr., he had a very, very good game. I was definitely impressed, making sure that you did live up to what you showed and showcased in Summer League. Definitely did that. Chandler Parsons had a little bit of a better game And that is definitely great to see, especially at the price tag that you're paying Chandler Parsons. We finally need this guy to show up, especially if you're a Memphis Grizzlies fan. And he did that. 2 of 3 from the three-point line, 12 points. Solid numbers. Michael Conley, of course, still your best player. Marcus Gasol struggled mightily, only making one shot the entire game. Did it bring in 5 rebounds, though. Only finished with a total of 2 points. Moving on now to the Miami Heat and the Charlotte Hornets. The Miami Heat in their second preseason game. The Charlotte Hornets in their third preseason game. So both these teams have a little bit more under their belt. You don't want the game to be as sloppy. Hornets end up winning 122 to 113 in this matchup. Jeremy Lamb, who looked very good in the first couple games, had, you know, came back to earth a little bit, was 3 for 10 shooting, finished with 6 points, minus 7 while on the court. So really didn't look the greatest. Kemba Walker still showing that he's, I want to say underrated. A lot of people know who Kemba Walker is. He's a top 10 point guard in the NBA. Had another pretty good night last night. Had 18 points, had 5 assists, had 6 rebounds. Struggled a little bit from the three-point line, but Kemba Walker, I think, is going to be trying to carry this team as much as possible. It looks like he is definitely trying to take over that leadership role even more in Charlotte this season, which would definitely be good. The Charlotte Hornets are trying to shock a lot of teams and be a playoff team. I do think they have the talent to do it. They just have to put everything together. When you look at Bridges, Miles Bridges, this guy is definitely legit. He had another good game last night. He had 14 points. And you look at his game so far. He had 10, 23, and 14 as a rookie already. This guy is looking very, very good. Malik Monk, we know this guy can score. He has 7 assists last night, though. That was definitely a good sign to see. We still need Malik Monk to kind of come into his own a little bit. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist still in the concussion protocol. Did not play for the Charlotte Hornets. But you do expect him when the season begins to come off of the bench, which is new for MKG. But do expect him to come off of the bench this season for the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat, they look pretty good as well. Goran Dragic, he led the team. He had 12 points. Well, not lead the team. He led the team as just the leader out there while on the court. He had 12 points, 4 assists. Kelly Olynyk had a very good game, hitting 3 or 4 from the three-point line. He finished with 18, 4 rebounds. Another Kelly Olynyk game. Justice Winslow still struggling with his shot. He helps out defensively, but definitely not the best seasons so far for Justice Winslow. You had Hassan Whiteside, another good game for him. 5 for 7, 4 for 7 from the free throw line, 15 rebounds in 27 minutes. Hassan Whiteside looking like he's regaining form. And if he does still leave the Heat by the trade deadline, Miami should get a little bit back. Hassan Whiteside is still showing that he can contribute when motivated. He's looking motivated this season. So that is definitely a good sign for the Heat. Good sign for Hassan Whiteside. We don't know exactly how long he will be there. If they can work things out, they'll be great for Miami. If not, Miami's only going to get more in the trade for Hassan Whiteside. Dwayne Wade, 20 minutes, 2-11 shooting, only 5 points. You don't expect him to be on every single night during his farewell tour, but he played okay last night. Just got to make a couple more of those shots more consistently, but it's still Dwayne Wade, which is not bad. Briante Weber, he's back in Miami. He's a point guard who I like. He has bounced around from a lot of teams. He had 10 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists in 12 minutes. I like Briante Weber, point guard out of Virginia Commonwealth University, defensive guard first. I like him. Hopefully he can make the roster for the Miami Heat this year. Then we have the Cleveland Cavaliers and Boston Celtics. Would have been a bigger story, but no Kyrie in this one. Cleveland won 102 to 95. Kevin Love looked very, very good for Cleveland in their first game. Maybe him not having LeBron, him being the focal point of the offense, almost looked like the old Kevin Love. 4 rebounds, 17 points in 17 minutes. Not bad at all. Really have no complaints. Chetty Osman, this kid, a lot of people say he has all-star potential. He showed it. 4 of 8, 1 of 4 from the three-point line, had 11 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. Not quite LeBron. You know he looks up to LeBron a lot. It looks like he learned a lot from LeBron James. Had a very solid game last night. George Hill, he started, I think, more because of the veteran presence. I think, ultimately, Colin Sexton gets that job. George Hill struggled, 1 point, did not make a single shot in the entire game. No assist either. Just did not look good. Rodney Hood, this guy's playing for a contract. He almost looked like Utah's Rodney Hood a little bit, which could also be good for Cleveland. This Cleveland team doesn't look as bad as advertised at all. Colin Sexton, who I believe people are sleeping on, I think the second best point guard in the draft, but behind Gilgeous Alexander, in my opinion, Colin Sexton out of Alabama, this kid could ball. This kid has a lot of heart. He has that dog in him that you want out of your point guard, and he still brings that to Cleveland. He had 15 points. Yes, he only had one assist, four rebounds. But what you really like out of Colin Sexton is the tempo he's going to play with, that passion he's going to play with. All of that, he definitely did. David Nwaba, I like him. He's been bouncing around. It was a little shocking that he didn't stay in Chicago. Late addition, but David Nwaba, 12 points in 12 minutes, four rebounds. Definitely a good game. For Boston, they struggled a little bit. Definitely struggled shooting the basketball. But there was no Kyrie Irving. Al Horford only played 14 minutes, only gave you 2 points. That's definitely not going to be an everyday thing. So I'm not really too worried about everything that happened with Boston. They just had a bad game. You get those from time to time. Jason Tatum was 2 for 6, only had 6 points. They just really struggled. Now, one worry a little bit, not a huge worry, but this is going on 3 games now. Gordon Hayward still struggles shooting. Eventually, he will get into rhythm. And he will figure things out. But he was 2 of 6 last night, 0 for 3 from the 3-point line. So he's still struggling shooting a little bit. But I do think ultimately they figure it out. Then the final preseason game, the Utah Jazz came away 105-90 over the Toronto Raptors. For Utah, they're still going to be a playoff team. Utah's still a very, very solid team across the board. If one guy doesn't do it one night, another guy can pick up. Donovan Mitchell, of course, he's going to have a lot of attention this year. He had 12 points in 25 minutes, but it was Joe Ingles who stole the show last night. 5 threes made, 5 for 11 from the 3-point line, 24 minutes, also contributed 4 assists as well. Rudy Gobert still locking down the paint, still getting those easy buckets, had 13 and 10, only missed 1 shot. Ricky Rubio, he looked good also, had 15 points. Literally, everybody did their job for the Utah Jazz. That's a great sign moving forward. They're a team that's going to win by committee. He looked okay. Grayson Allen looked okay. Didn't have the best shooting night like he did the other game. Only made 1 3. He's going to be up and on, but when he's hot, he's definitely going to help out the team. When you look at Toronto, Kawhi Leonard, I don't think he's quite San Antonio Kawhi Leonard yet, and I think that will change based on how you coach him and how you get him in certain situations. Greg Popovich, always known for getting the most out of his players, but Kawhi Leonard, still a top talent in the NBA. 18 minutes, 17 points, 5 rebounds, and a steal. Shot 50% from the field, 50% from the 3-point line. Kawhi Leonard still the best player on any team he goes to. Valanciunas had a good game last time, had a good game again, had 18 points, 9 rebounds. He's definitely going to play a huge factor in this one. Kyle Lowry, he did struggle shooting, struggled kind of overall in the game. 7 points, 2 assists. He is not happy in Toronto, but they're going to need him to step up his play if they want to win some of these regular season games. Coming off of the bench, Serge Ibaka played pretty good. Can't really blame him at all. Greg Monroe, wish you've seen a little bit more, was only 1 for 5 shooting from the field. But the way Valanciunas is playing, Greg Monroe, you don't mind him struggling from time to time. I think he will get everything done. That's all the games from last night. For tonight, we do have another slate of 5 games. You have the New York Knicks taking on the Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn Nets in their preseason opener. New York Knicks, of course, this is their second preseason game. That is at 7:30 at 8 o'clock on NBA TV. You have the Milwaukee Bucks and the Chicago Bulls. I think that's going to be a pretty entertaining one to watch. Jabari Parker heading back to Milwaukee. And then you see Giannis for the first time this season. That will be a very interesting one to watch. 8 o'clock on NBA TV. You also have at the same time the Detroit Pistons and the OKC Thunder. Both teams making their preseason openers. See where OKC is now. They have Paul George long term. They added some depth to their bench. That was one of the main issues, I believe, last season. So we'll see what OKC could do. See the front court of Detroit. At 10 o'clock, you have the Phoenix Suns and the New Zealand Breakers. Don't know much about New Zealand, but for Phoenix, we want to see how can DeAndre Ayton bounce back. Had a fantastic first game. How does he play here? Of course, against a little bit lower competition. In the final game, you have the Minnesota Timberwolves taking on the LA Clippers. Is that going to be Jimmy Butler's future team? Not quite sure yet. Both teams making their second preseason game. That is at 10:30, and that one will also be on NBA TV. But that is everything that we have for today's episode. As always, if you want to stay connected, make sure you follow me on Twitter at DLloydTV. That is DLLOYDTV. You can also make sure you guys subscribe to my YouTube channel as well. We do break down a lot of transactions, a lot of news, a lot of rumors, all that good stuff is over there. So make sure you follow me on or subscribe to me on YouTube at DLloydNBA. That is everything that we have for today. I will see you guys tomorrow. Once again, breaking down all the latest news and rumors as well. It's going over all of the games, giving some insight in everything that happened. I'll see you guys then. Peace.